All right, folks, this is the point in the show where we go below the fold. We lift up stories and make connections designed to help you start and engage with others in conversations that, well, they might not initially appear to be about God. Well, frankly, today's kind of does. So yesterday was the 499th anniversary of the Reformation. That makes today the first day of the 500th year. So there you go. I thought that it would be fun to, starting today, focus on a sola a day to drive heresies away. There you go. That's my rhyme for the day. We're going to have a sola a day to drive heresies away. So the solas of the Reformation acknowledge that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, and that all of this we know by the Word of God, the Bible, Scripture alone. So these five solas, S-O-L-A-S, the five solas of the Protestant Reformation, they're biblically grounded theological principles that guided the Reformers as they sought to restore the Word of God to its rightful place in the life of the Church. They were also concerned that Christ be restored to his rightful place as Savior alone, and that people understand that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone. So each sola corresponded to a teaching of the Church at the time that contradicted the truth that was expressed by the solas. So the Bible alone sola, sola scriptura, addressed sort of the creeping of church tradition, which was putting itself on par with the apostles' teaching found in the Bible. So, salvation comes by Christ alone, which was this solo Christi. This addressed, frankly, at the time, the veneration of Mary and other saints and the use of indulgences, as if the eternal disposition of a soul could be affected by anything other than the finished work of Christ upon the cross. By grace alone, through faith alone, were the strong rejection of a theology of works righteousness that had developed in Roman Catholicism over a thousand-year period of time. So today's sola is sola scriptura. This is really the basis of the Reformation. And I'm ready to argue this is the foundation that has been eroded out from under the Church in America over the past 100 years. So the Reformation calling to the Church 500 years ago was a calling not only to be reformed according to the Word of God, but that the Church would continually be reformed according to the Word of God, that would be the standard. And then that's a call that we need as much today as the Church needed it in 1517. So the Bible alone is the ultimate authority. That's the formal principle of the Reformation. In 1521, Martin Luther, who... Yesterday, the anniversary that we celebrated is because he was a Catholic priest who nailed a list of 95 theses, statements, 95 statements, bringing accusation and charge against practices that were happening in the Catholic Church that he viewed as contrary to Scripture. So he nailed those to the door of the cathedral at Wittenberg. And so when you hear reference to Luther's 95 theses and you hear reference to the Wittenberg door, that's what this is all about. So that was the start of what we now call the Protestant Reformation. So that was in 1517. In 1521, Luther was on trial, and he was being interrogated at something called the Diet of Worms, which is just a terrible name for anything, but that's what it was. So at the Diet of Worms, he was undergoing this interrogation, and it was during that interrogation that he famously declared his conscience to be captive to the Word of God alone. And this is what Luther said: "Unless I am overcome with testimonies from Scripture or with evident reasons, for I believe neither the Pope nor the councils, since they have often erred and contradicted one another, I am overcome by the Scripture text which I have adduced, and my conscience is bound by God's word." So Luther's basically saying, look, it doesn't matter what you say. You're not going to convince me by the words of men that God's word is wrong. That's not going to happen. My conscience is convicted and conformed to the word of God alone. Well, 9 years later, in 1530, we have the Augsburg Confession. 31 years after that, we get the Belgic Confession. A year after that, we get the Second Helvetic Confession. There's this progression throughout this stage of history of these confessional statements that are all centered upon this sola. They all start with this sola, that it all starts with the restoration of the understanding of the Word of God, Scripture alone. And so this becomes the basis of what we know as Reformed theology. Let me read a portion of the Belgic Confession related to the Bible. "We believe that the Holy Scriptures fully contain the will of God, and that whatsoever man ought to believe unto salvation is sufficiently taught therein. Neither may we consider any writings of men, however holy these men may have been, of equal value with those divine scriptures, nor ought we to consider custom, or the great multitude, or antiquity, or succession of times and persons, or councils, decrees, or statutes, as of equal value with the truth of God. Therefore we reject with all our hearts whatsoever does not agree with this infallible rule." So when we talk about the Bible being inspired, we talk about the Bible being infallible, those are understandings of the Bible as the Word of God, and it stands alone as such. So it does not have an equal. But these, in the end, are also the words of men, these confessional statements. So what does the Bible declare about itself? Well, I think that we should here remember from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, that all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. So the Bible is the place where this conversation starts. The early church understood, received, and preached the Bible as such. I mean, they were responsible for receiving the letters of Paul. They were responsible for receiving the Gospels as we know them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have titles at the time. They belonged to communities that were associated with those particular apostles. And so what we have is what the early church viewed as, hey, this is the inspired Word of God. And so that's what you and I have as the New Testament, together with the Old Testament of the Hebrew Scriptures. So my husband Jim often observes that until the Word of God is restored to its rightful place in the life of the church will not be able to have a rightful witness in the life of the culture. I think he's right. And the same holds true in the lives of every believer. So if the Word of God does not hold a sacred place of authority in your life, if your mind is not being transformed through the renewing that comes from God's Word, then you're not adequately equipped to enter the world as a representative of Jesus, nor as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. If our lives are not literally saturated with the Scriptures, then when we're squeezed or hard-pressed, then what's going to come out of us is going to be our words, not the Word of God. And the world does not need a piece of our mind. It needs the very peace of the mind of Christ. So today's Sola is Sola Scriptura. In celebration of the 500th year of the Reformation, I invite you to immerse yourself today in the Word of God, that you might be, in turn, able to speak God's word to a world that desperately needs it.